will live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we meet faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Minutes left minus my singing time. Amen. Praise God. You can go to Okay, you can go to Luke 6:36-38 rather. Then we'll go to 2 Corinthians 8 from there. I saw myself singing it. And boy, I was so blessed. From the rising of the sun until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known. Oh, from the rising of the sun is going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Oh, from the rising of the sun, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known. Oh, from the rising of the sun until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. We'll take it on from there. From the rising of the sun, right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. When you see us pause like this after worship, for lack of a better term, we're trying to de-escalate. Amen. And to transit into maybe sharing God's word or doing something else. Okay. That is, doesn't have the same tempo or the same style of intensity. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy, 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 my life is full of your glory.
Yes,
my life is full of your glory. I get it now. Sing holy, 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 holy is the Lord, is the Lord God Almighty. My life is full of your glory. Oh, my house is full of your glory.
Hallelujah. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. It's not a thing I'm about to take. Amen. It's just part of the scriptures we are to read for prosperity scriptures. Amen. And confess and declare and paint a new picture in this season. Glory to God. All right.
You say, give and it shall be given unto you, good measures pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give to your bosom, to your corpus. Okay? The Greek word there is talking about your money bags, your storehouses, your bank account, your e-wallet, your crypto wallet, praise God. Wherever you store your resources, your financial value, your asset value, praise God. He says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measures pressed down, shaking together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, he shall be measured unto you. Give me in the Amplified Translation. But even from here, we can pick what he's saying. He's talking about prosperity here. And he's giving us a key to financial and material prosperity, which is giving. Glory to God. He's a give, and it shall be given unto you. And this was Jesus talking. He added good measures, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. That paints a picture, and that is what I want you to see. Amen. In this portion of scripture, good measures pressed down. He said, no, good measure pressed down, shaking together and running over. Now you have to cast your mind back to the context, the cultural and economic context from where you're speaking. He was talking about how they measure things in those days. We still have a relic of that in our time and age where I'm trying to look for the most perfect example to use in our time. But you see, they have goods. Let's say I've farmed beans before. So I say, Pastor, you, yes. Amen. And when you harvest beans, it comes in the pots, right? Okay. Pot or bots? P or B? Okay, the pods, yes. It comes in the pods, right? You know those pods, when you are stacking them in the sack, you can press so that the sack can take more. Are you with me? That's the picture there. That's the picture there. I think my beans farming was 96. And that was the last time. We were on holidays. And our grandfather insisted that I and Pastor Godwin go to the farm. And he gave us a portion to farm. We're going to be around for a month. Amen. And we had to farm. So we had to go to the farm. We had to farm. And we made the ridges ourselves. Imagine. And it was beautiful. I think I had almost a sack. Okay. And it was beautiful. Amen. Not the thing that's beautiful. You go to the farm, you made ridge. I remember there was the day I saw snake on the farm. Oh, God. He was... Praise God. You know, that's where you cannot put your legs on the ground. But gravity insists that your legs have to be on the ground. So that you are wondering, is something else going to come right now? Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless him. He's in heaven now. He's an amazing man. You see, let me just talk a little about my grandfather. Amen. Just permit me. Let me honor him in 2 minutes. You see, in every generation, somebody will have to open the portal for the plans and purposes for that lineage to begin to be accomplished. Praise God. And for us, he was that man. He was that man who pulled God into his context. Glory to God. In fact, there was a time he was told, that was way before I was born, he was told that if he didn't do some traditional stuff, I think his father died or so, and then he had been born again. That was many, many, many decades ago. And they told him that he had to meet his traditional requirements. And he told them that he's a Christian now. And they asked what he was talking about. Amen. And he told them that he can't do this. That he believes in the Almighty God now. And he can't. This is fetish. He can't do it. And they told him this. There are repercussions for people who don't do this. Okay, part of it is death. You open the gate of death upon your lineage. Okay, and that begins immediately. Praise God. I think that incident happened almost 50 years before he died. Amen. That means for 50 years he didn't die. Praise God. For 50 years, my dad lost only one sibling And it was to a known cause. Okay. I mean, it was a known cause. Let me not go more than that. It was something that was avoidable. Okay. Praise God. And they watched him. They were looking at him. He didn't die. His children did not die. Praise God. His grandchildren were not dying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a patriarch. And he broke us out. And he became a deacon, and he served. He passed 2 years ago at 101. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we honor Pa Augustine Ame Ema? And when you visit him, his history class, you know now. Till now, I know the names of my forefathers till the ninth generation. How many of you can boast of that? I'm serious. That's lineage till the 10th generation. I know the name of his own great-great-great-great-grandfather. That's my grandfather's great-great-great-grandfather. I know their names arranged. It's still in my head. Arranged to the 10th generation for me. Okay, and how they got to where they were. Praise God. Hallelujah. How did I get here? Farming beans, pressed down, shaking together. Shall men give to your bosom? So he's painting a picture of overflow here. Hallelujah. A picture of overflow. Listen, excess is the signature of God. Never let the economy of the land that you dwell in stereotype your mind. Okay, to believe that life is meant to be managed or you are supposed to take whatever comes your way. Are you with me? Poverty is not of God. Just enough is not of God. God wants us to create a world to put the money he had created and created an entire galaxy. Just empty space with empty planets. Just so there will be space for man. It tells you about God's mind. Excess is the signature of God. When Jesus fed the 5,000, I mean, it was a miracle enough that he was using 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed them. That is a miracle. But you see, just to demonstrate that, look, anywhere he's involved, there has to be overflow. After feeding the 5,000, excluding the women and the children, they had 12 baskets left over. Jehovah overdo. Hey. Hallelujah. 12 baskets left over. There has to be. He has to make that statement. Excess. So in your mind, in your space, in your business career, in your destiny, don't create a room in your mind for scarcity. No, excess is the signature of God. And if you grew up in an environment of scarcity, walk your mind out of it by meditating on scriptures like this. And this is why we're going through prosperity scriptures, healing scriptures, to paint a picture. And this is why we're declaring them. Excess is the signature of God. You school your mind until your mind is used to it. Listen, there's a difference between overflow abundance and wastage and extravagance. What Jesus did showed you that God is not for waste, but yet excess is still his signature. He told them, gather the remnants, that nothing be lost. And they gather 12 baskets. 12 is a number of government. And this is God demonstrating that, look, I have dominion over supplies. Over demand and supply. Can I get an amen? Amen. I have dominion over demand and supply. I don't get stranded. When I show up and there's lack, I don't just meet the need. I supply in excess. I supply in excess. So this gives the boundaries of your vision. Excess. Overflow. He didn't say, shall men give to your bosom. He put adjectives there. He described what he's talking about. Press down. Good measures, number one. Good measure. Press down, shaking together and running over. Shall men pour into the pouch formed by the zomer of your robe and used as a bag. He's talking about your money bags. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he's telling you one of the ways you break in is by giving. Giving enlarges you. He said, a liberal soul shall be made fat. He's not saying you add more body fat. No, he's speaking spiritually. He's talking about enlargement of capacity. Liberality enlarges your capacity. What you can give, you have conquered. That's what he's saying.
The liberal soul shall be made fat. What you can give, you have conquered. If you give a car out, cars will start looking like toys to you. If you give a millionaire out, you start looking like nothing. If you give 10 millionaire out, you start looking like nothing. That's kingdom perspective now. Are you here? And this is why, for those who want to be trained, this is why we train people to set giving thresholds and exceed them. So you ask yourself, what is the highest I've ever given? Is it enough to break into things? What's the next possible mark afterwards? How can I exceed that possible mark? He's saying, your liberality will enlarge your capacity. It will. Giving to the anointed, giving to the gospel, giving to the poor, giving to your parents, giving to just cause. It doesn't matter. And it enlarges you. See, I'm a giver. See, I give. And men are giving to me. Say, good measures. It has started. Are you with me? Say, good measures. Press down. Shaking together. And running over. Men are pouring into my storehouses. Into my hands. Into my bank accounts. In the name of the Lord Jesus. See, I'm a giver. I give bountifully. Therefore, good measures, pressed down, shaking together and running over, men are giving into my money bags, into my bosom, into my bank accounts, into my storage houses, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rejoice, somebody. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Kai, let me just read from verse 1 to 7 before 1 to 8. You'll enjoy reading it. Which is, I think there was a translation we read. Kai. Okay, are you ready? Okay, message translation. He said, now friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches of Macedonia province. It's a surprising and generous way. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limits. The trial exposed their true colors. You know, when you hear this, that trial exposes people's true color. In the typical sense, you think of they became stingy because of the trials. Are you with me? But this wasn't the case. He said their trials exposed their true colors. Oh, glory to God. Ooh, they were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. The pressure triggers something totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. That's strange, isn't it? So he calls it unexpected, surprising incident in the churches in the province of Macedonia. This is remarkable. The pressure triggers something totally unexpected. Now, this is something that if you have listened to any preacher who understands kingdom prosperity, without the message translation has said, yes, because it's everywhere in the Bible. There's a prophetic lifting we do when we read Genesis 24. Praise God, Genesis 26. And the Bible says, there was famine in the land, and Isaac wanted to escape from the land into Egypt. And the Lord appeared to him and said, don't leave, stay here and I'll bless you. And the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land. In the same year, Isaac sowed in that land. In that land of what? In that land of famine. So what they were saying was a popular revelation and is scriptural. Amen. Is consistent with the voice of scriptures that in time of scarcity, Isaac sowed. He made a release. When there's famine, there's drought. It takes a lot of faith to sow. Glory to God. It takes a lot of faith to sow because what you are sowing will have to die first. It's an act of faith. It has to die. What if it doesn't come out? That's what makes it faith. Glory to God. So in the New Testament now, Paul calls materials giving seed. So it's the same thing. Just like Isaac sowed in famine. That was what the Macedonian church did. In their troubles, in their pressure, something was triggered. An unusual generosity, says, something totally unexpected. An outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there and saw it for myself. They gave offerings to, of whatever they could. Watch this. Far more than they could afford. Far more than they could afford. That means there's a place of giving what you have. There's a place of giving beyond what you can afford. You choose your level. I'm not telling you to go and do likewise. I've told you before that I've taken loan to give before, not from the bank though. Amen. Yes. A man of God was coming to town many years ago. I needed to give. Praise God. If you are blessed, you are blessed. Pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. This was totally spontaneous. Entirely their own idea. And caught up completely off guard. What explained it was that they had first given themselves unreservedly to God and to us. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. That's what prompted us to ask Titus to bring the relief offering to your attention, so that what was so well begun could be finished up. Paul was trying to get them to give. You do so well in so many things. You trust God, you articulate, you are insightful, you are deep, you are passionate, you love us. Now do your best in this too. What's the context? Giving grace. King James talks about giving grace, right? Do your best in this too. I'm not trying to order you around against your will, but by bringing in the Macedonian enthusiasm as a stimulus to your love, I'm hoping to bring the best of you out. So he's using other believers' giving to challenge them to give. Verse 9. You are familiar with the generosity of our master, Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us. In one stroke, he became poor and we became rich. That's where we're going. Amen. For our confession. But it was good we had a background. Praise God. It was good we had a background. Give me verse 9 in King James now. And then we'll confess it. And take one more scriptures and break bread and go. Say, I know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Say, I know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Say, I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for my sake, he became poor. Therefore now, I to his poverty, I have become rich. 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 I am not the poor trying to get rich. I am the rich discovering what belongs to me. I am the rich discovering what belongs to me. I'm rich in all things. See, I'm rich in all things. I'm rich in my health. I'm rich in my home. I'm rich in silver and gold. I'm rich in cars. I'm rich in properties. I'm rich in investments. I'm rich in all things. I'm rich in dollars and pounds and euros and yen. I'm rich in naira. I'm rich in hard currencies. I'm rich in all things. In the name of Jesus. Say, don't let your mouth shake. Say, I'm rich. Take a posture. Say, I'm rich. Say, I'm wealthy. Say, the blood paid for it. Say, the blood paid for it. And because the blood paid for it, it is sacred. It is not carnal. It is sacred. Say, Jesus paid for it. And because he paid for it, my financial prosperity is sacred. My material prosperity is sacred. Say, I'm rich. I am rich. I am rich. I am wealthy. No scarcity around me. I'm rich unto good works. We'll see you shortly. you see, don't let religion close your mouth when you are making confessions concerning your prosperity. Don't let anybody, when someone say, oh, all these things, no. You see, when Jesus said all these things shall be added, he's not saying you should not apply the principles that will bring the things. If you like, be sleeping in church and not be a giver, you'll be poor. But he has said all things will be added. But as a Christian, the person will still be poor. Why? So that all things will be added, there's a principle that brings them. And part of what we're doing is part of the principles that pull the wealth. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9. King James now. We'll read 6 to 11. Are you blessed? Ah. It's amazing that all these beautiful scriptures, you'll find within there your responsibility. Have you noticed that? You'll find within that place your responsibility. It's clear. You know, we're talking about kingdom power systems this month. This is part of it. This is part of it. You proclaim it and you take responsibility. He said, but these I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also how? Sparingly. What is the context? Giving. This is not done. Every portion of scripture has context. This is what some religious people wish they took away from the Bible. Paul was talking about giving. They can't take it away. So the context of talking about sowing and reaping is giving. So when you give, you are sowing. You are sowing. You are sowing. You are not dashing somebody money. You are sowing. And you have to understand that. If you sow, there will be a harvest. Glory to God. There will be a harvest. I've taught you three laws that govern giving. Number one is the law of honor. Hallelujah. Honor is the first law that governs giving. You honor the Lord. You honor God's system. You honor the past day. The anointed you are giving to. You honor even the poor you are giving to. And this is why you don't squeeze money and throw on the poor. You give to the poor with honor. Why? The foundational principle of giving that makes giving fulfilling and productive is honor. He says, honor the Lord with what? With your substance. And with the first fruit of your increase. It's honor. It's honor. It's honor. Second law is love. It's like unto the first. Love means to prefer the other person. Honor means to discern the value that the other person carries. Love means to prefer. So love, you give because you love the Lord. Because you love the anointed. Because you love the poor. You are not like Judas, who did not love the poor. There was the third one, faith. And that is where the expectation for a harvest comes in. You know, my good dog says this, and many people didn't understand him. He said, how many of you farmer? And he's talking about that third dimension of the laws that govern giving. Is how many of you farmers go to farm and plant your corn, your maize, your yam, your ginger, or your onions. And then you go home and then he asking you, what of the harvest? Say, no, I just planted because I love planting. No. Yes, you may love farming, you may love planting, but it is just rational to expect a harvest. He said, if you are like that, I have a song for you. How dumb thou art. How dumb thou art, Mike Murdoch. Praise God. But what is he saying? The third layer, which is faith, expectation of a harvest. You know, you are putting a principle to work, and it has to work. You have hope that you are honoring God's principles, so it will work. You can never be broke. You and poverty have waved yourself goodbye forever. Why? There are things you know to do. Glory to God. I said, these things can be mastered. The money game. So you see, those who sow sparingly shall reap sparingly. Those who sow bountifully shall reap how? Bountifully. So it's talking about the quantity of sowing. Quantity and quality. Next verse. Say, I sow bountifully. Hallelujah. Every man according as he had purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. He's talking about the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. For God loves a cheerful giver. Oh, hallelujah. I have done many things to give. Oh. I've sold things to give. Borrowed to give. Saved to give. Because I knew my future was the seed. Someone say, Pastor, you are blessed because you have members that give you money. That's one of the greatest lies you can ever tell on this side of eternity. There are pastors who are broke. You see, people don't just give to you. A law has to be at work to move people to give to you. Yes. To move people to give to you. A law has to be at work. Are you here? It has to be at work. For people to still remember you to give. You know, one of the most humbling things for me is when people from who are no longer in church, maybe for years, still remember to send, to give to me. It's humbling. Some of them are members of another church. So it doesn't just happen. Is a law. A law conditions it. That law that I practice will start putting thoughts in the hearts of people. Are you with me? Because it's a law. It doesn't matter how far they are. Recently, an old member of church sent me ₦1,000,000. It was inexplainable. You know, it's one of the most unexpected things that I saw that week. Most unexpected. I was stunned. Has not been around a while. And that happens frequently. Why am I saying this? Things like that don't happen by themselves. It's a law you condition. Listen, one of the things that giving does is it opens people's hearts to you. That's what he's saying. He said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Shall men, not angels, shall men give to your storehouses? Hallelujah. He says, and God is able to make all grace. Who can stay here for 1 month? For 1 month. Woo! And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having Amedokosaya, all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. So the focus is good works. It's not so you can just have for nothing. No, there's a purpose to money. It is good works. Give me Amplified Bible. Amplified Classic. There's glory to God. Go and meditate. Okay, we're going to come. Are you ready? Are you ready? Say, God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessings come to me in abundance, so that I may always and under all circumstances, however the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Glory to God. Glory! Can we do it again? Say, God is able. And God is doing it now. He's making all grace. Say, all grace abounds towards me. Earthly blessings Favor comes to me in abundance, so that I always have, under all circumstances and whatever the need, I am self-sufficient. I possess enough to require no aid or support. I'm furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Look up at me. That means in church, if you are raising seed every day, you can give. You know, I tell Christians, the problem is no one needs to be done in church. The problem is your prosperity. You have it. Hey, is you having? Is you having? Ah, yeah. Is you? And I would to God, I paint this picture in your heart. Is you having? Never you think in church, oh, we're doing capital projects. We're building. Is pastors this? We need to give for. No. Your focus should be, I'm sufficient, as you always have. As you, it's not about how many things they're asking for in church, as you always have. Of course, church leadership should be wise too. Okay, like, yeah, you see us, don't ask. Amen. We don't put money on people's face. Glory to God. We are careful. There are things we have to believe God for. But my point is, as a believer, this is your posture. I always have. It's not about what needs to be done. I always have. If pastor is looking for those who give a million naira seed every Sunday, I always have. Every Sunday, that's 1 million per month. That's what somebody spends on a girlfriend in the night, on a side chick in the night. More than that, sinner, you are too holy, you can't even hug sister. See, we must be pro-economic empowerment. This is what Satan has used the most to rubbish the church. Trust me. I know there's a place for other things. I know. And rightly so. But in this context, be pro-economic empowerment. I've told you there's no telling how much a kingdom-minded person should have. No telling. No telling. You say, always have. Always have. Don't see why they're asking this GIP partnership. If we're building this, let me not say this one. Amen. It's not my business to say it. If we need to give for this, is always have. Say, I always have. All sufficiency in all things unto all good works. You can be big enough. Yes, you can be big enough. I'm telling you, that's a mental posture you should have. If they are raising seed every Sunday, I always have to give. I always have to give. I always have to give. So there are two kinds of Christians now. There are those who say, it's not something that somebody has, he will give. That's lower level. And there are those who have seen. What has God's word said? I have a promise from the word that I can be so blessed to a point where I always have all sufficiency to give. I always have to give. No, think about it. How much is 12 million? Think about it. How much is 12 million? How much is 52 million? Think about it. Pardon? Delegates take home. I don't know which country you're talking about. I'm not aware. You aware? Well, I'm not aware. He's on his own. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Think about it. How much is 52 million? That means you can believe God to give 1 million every week. Yeah, now it's normal. Hey, we're growing, we're getting there. You see, you heard Reverend Tokola about the guy that sends him money every day. The fact that you remember the video you gave me now of Pastor Lawal, and okay, maybe it's, you know, it's another video, Pastor B. You see, there was a time he said he wants to give, he sends ₦1 million every day to his pastor. ₦1 million every day. Okay, you watched that part. Thank you. I think it was either in that video or in another video. You mean every day? And then he inspired other pastors to start doing it. It's every day. He doesn't forget. He must send his seed every day. One. Then he decided to send his seed to church account every day. And it's in millions every day. He set his mind, and the money always came. The man of God I'm talking about is strangely prosperous. Amen. He's strangely prosperous. He literally owns Ghana. That's money. Online, so let's not talk too much. But is this giving? Is this giving? Is this giving? He was talking about when he was a pastor of a smaller church in Lagos then. How they pushed to gather money to buy a car to give to Pastor Chris. He said his church, this small church, he said, we must buy a car for pastor. And they set it. And they did all kinds. And then they carried the car and went and gave. You see, those who prosper in the kingdom always have that story of being determined to focus on their giving. Are you with me? Always have that story of the clarity of vision. But the problem is not the givings I need to do. The problem is receiving grace to always have. To always have. Let's bring this service to a close. See, I always have all sufficiency in all things for all good works. Hallelujah. I'll not lead you. Put the scripture. Can you stand to your feet and confess the scripture? Confess it. 2 minutes. Can I have those 70 communion? We'll take our offerings first, I believe. Confess the scriptures. We'll take our offerings and then we'll break bread. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. This month is subdued under you. Yeah. I said the month of June is subdued before you. In the name of Jesus. All the days of this month are days of His power. Amen. You walk in the power of God. Amen. Your eyes see His power. Amen. Your hands touch His power. Amen. They are manifestations of power. Amen. In and around you, in the name of Jesus. The power of God is that walk round the clock concerning you. Amen. On your behalf, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hear me, this month you are having power testimonies. Amen. You are having power testimonies. Amen. I say you are having power testimonies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Put the scripture up. Can you declare it yourself? Start from somewhere. Declare it. God is making all grace, every favor, earthly blessing come to me in abundance. I always have. Under all circumstances. You saw that. Confess it. All circumstances. All circumstances. Meaning, even when they say the economy of the country is not good, it's not important. Your economic climate is different under all circumstances. Declare, don't stop. 30 more seconds. I always Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.